Well, I was here in Darfur in August on a family trip, just on a trip home. And that journey home was just, it was mind-blowing because it was the first time I was there in about 4 years. And everyone who saw us, my mom, my sisters, my brothers and I, they're just like, "What brought you here? Why are you back? You guys got out, man. Why would you come back to Darfur? Why would you come back to this place?" And things like that. And, there was something in my heart that just was like, I would give so much to be able to come here even more often than I do. And on the other side, the less joking side, they would also cry when they saw us and say, Adwamlillah, which is may they rest in peace, those who passed between us, because we lost a lot of family in between in a lot of the times that we don't see each other, and to natural causes, to non-natural causes, just to everything. And it felt like time was just moving so quickly. And I thought, what is the best way to, realize the dream of being able to see my family, to being able to go home? I thought, well, what if it's not my dream alone? If I don't dream alone, maybe something can happen.
So what do you want to achieve from this walk?
Two things. The first thing that I want to achieve is I want to create a collective responsibility for peace. When I saw it in the peace talks and when I was listening to people and, with all of my being, I said to them, I will do everything that I can to take the responsibility of making your dreams come true. But I'm just one person. I don't have anything. I'm a poet. All I have is the microphone. What you say, I can make it heard. But I'm going to need so many other voices and so many other people to actually make these dreams come true. So I'll take this responsibility and I'll show you that even more of us will take the responsibility. So that's the first, part of the walk. The idea is like if we all stand together and show that this responsibility is ours to move forward, to make sure that we're all in it together, I feel like something can happen. And the second goal, like thing that's supposed to come out of the dreams is that a lot of the people were telling me that, they've been in the camps for 15, 14 years. They felt like Sudan has been standing still for even longer than that. And the thing that inspired me is when people who was telling me about their families being lost, just like some of my family was lost, they were saying, if I were to go and attack the people who attacked my family, those of family members who died, they wouldn't come back. It wouldn't bring them back. But I have people who are still living that I need to take care of, and I want you to help me take care of them. So this whole thing, the second part, is about moving forward, about dedicating literal steps toward peace. And every step we dedicate toward peace is a potential future step toward home. And I think that is the essential idea behind them, creating a collective responsibility and taking literal steps until we can find the steps that'll change everything.
The walk itself starts from El Fasher and it will end in Khartoum, and it's estimated about 1,300 kilometers. So what will you do during the walk?
Sing, write poetry. I will talk to people. The thing about the distance, though, is that we are making sure that we cover all the five different states that are along the walk in a pretty substantial way. And so, because of that, it necessitates only covering 773 only kilometers of the walk. It's still quite a chunk of time. We'll still be walking for 30 days. But the idea is that if we cover this space and if we give real meaning and time and healing time in this very human act of walking, we'll be able to create something that lets us just feel together and exist in a moment where we're actually feeling like we're moving forward.
Is the government of Sudan behind this?
Absolutely not. When you say behind this, a lot of people have asked me, who's behind this? Whose idea is this? And it's really funny. If you ask my parents, and if you ask my brothers and sisters, and if you ask anyone why it's even called the One Girl Walk, it's because from the start, from the very start of my idea in August, when I was like hanging out with my family, everyone was just like, "You're gonna walk alone. No one's gonna support this. You're totally on your own." And I've been hearing that for the past 5 months. And then finally, when I finally, convinced enough students and family members, I like to say that when I got permission from my parents, I got permission from my grandmas in the camps after that, and I got permission from the students in the schools, and I got permission from the university kids in Al-Ihfad and in Al-Fasha University and all those places before I finally got permission from the Sudanese government and support from the Dal Group and other like Adidas and other places that actually can help us drink water, wear shoes. This is the beautiful story about how one crazy kid helped a bunch of other crazy kids get together with business, people, philanthropy, government, family, and try and change Sudan.
You mentioned earlier you got permission from the university, and also you'll be accompanied by a number of students. Can you tell us more, how many of them and who they are?
So thus far, there's a, for in Al-Fashr, for the kickoff, it seems like there's about 110 students that are signed up to help us start the walk. And they're everything from medical students all the way to like first years in the University of Al-Fashr University. There's engineers, there's everyone. And they're all just like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And it's really beautiful because it's this energy, this feeling of community, this like feeling that we can do anything, that we can fly, we can do whatever we want in the interest of peace and in the interest of solidarity and home. It blows my mind. And when you look at the crowds, whenever I was speaking to people, you know, you think that when you're doing, when you're gathering students to try and help change something that is so huge and so difficult, you'd think that we'd all be sitting there, you know, weeping about everything that has happened in our country and in Darfur. But the reality is that we've made space for the weeping. And now we're making space for the energy, for the love and the excitement. Like, there are people singing, there are people bringing drums, and I think that's the way that real momentum can help.